This is Carrie.
And Michelle. And welcome to Raising Your Consciousness.
This is a space to raise our consciousness and reach our full spiritual potential.
And that's through spiritual, esoteric, and even magical practices. We're here to bring happiness and meaning back into your life.
Let's get started.
Today, we are going to talk about being the best you, and specifically in a relationship. And how does that apply to your spiritual growth?
I think this is a wonderful topic, especially since there are so many ways that we bring ourselves to relationships. And when you first proposed this topic, my mind immediately went to relationships with significant others, partners, and spouses. But I think I'd also like to talk today about relationships maybe with peers and friends and siblings and family as well, and how our spiritual lives can affect those relationships too.
Yeah, and I also think the relationship with the divine.
Oh, yes, perhaps the most important one.
Yes, the most important one. Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that as a life coach I hear from a lot of my clients is just a lot of problems they have with their spouses.
Yes.
And so I'd like to kind of start there. You know, it seems to be a common theme that I hear that their relationships with their partners are not very good. Now, I know you have a good relationship with your partner, but I can say authentically that my relationship with my partner wasn't always the greatest. In fact, we actually separated for a year. And it took me really working on myself and taking responsibility for my part. There was a time when we were working on mending this where I specifically said, I can't be responsible for you, but I can definitely be responsible for me. And my part in this is what I did, or this is what I didn't do. And I think that what happens is we get so wrapped up in what we expect from somebody, or that our needs aren't being met, that we don't show up the way that we need to show up. We show up with revenge and anger, and you stop giving because that other person isn't giving the way you want them to give.
Right. Well, I'd like to ask, your advice then for folks. In the case of like a very close relationship, like a spouse, how do you begin the process? Like what do you do to start the process of change in your own mind?
Well, if you think about it, when you're first dating, you do show up as your best self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you want to make a good impression, right?
Yep.
So you're cooking for them. Your hair looks perfect. Your makeup looks perfect. You're wearing your cutest clothes. You're always showered and wearing the most expensive perfume. And then when you're having intimate moments, you're putting on your sexy lingerie, you know? And guys, there's going to be male listeners here too. So we're not just speaking just to women, but men, you know, they do a lot for women in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And women fall in love with that.
Yeah.
And then they stop because they start feeling, you know, comfortable. Well, I don't need to do that anymore. I already bought the cow. So, you know what I'm saying?
So they're not bringing their best self after that.
Right. And the flowers stop, okay? And the nights out and all the special romance that you got that made you fall in love with this person, it just stops. And she basically will do the same thing. But here's something that I found is probably one of the most important things that I've seen in most relationships, and this is targeted to women. I don't know if you did this, but most women I see do this. They put on the very best version of themselves to the point that it's really not themselves.
Hmm.
Like, he likes soccer, so she shows up, goes with him to soccer games. He Yes. likes to watch football, so she's right there with him, sitting in front of the TV. And she never asked for any of her needs to be met. She's always meet his needs, meet his needs, meet his needs to make him fall in love with you. And then, when things get comfortable, whether it's marriage or a long-term dating, she ends up telling him, I hated soccer and I hate football and, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. Or she starts asking for things finally. Mm-hmm. Hey, will you go to the opera with me? And he's like, no, I hate opera.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts getting frustrated and stops doing things for him because he's not doing what she's asking. I've spent all this time, all these years doing all these things.
Right.
And he's like, wait a second. I've never changed. You're the one who changed.
Yeah.
You know, so even at that, we're not showing up as our best selves because we're coming across as our fake self.
Right. That's not your best self. That's like a made up self.
It's a made up self, right? Just because we want them to buy the cow, you know?
Michelle.
Well, you know that saying, it's like.
Yep.
You about the milk, you get the milk for free, you know? It's like, why bother buying the cow if you get the milk for free? Well, they got
the convince them to buy the cow, and then
mm-hmm. they bought the cow. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, I know it's kind of a funny thing, but I'm not calling women cows. I'm just using the phrase here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we don't show up for our best self. We get wrapped up in whatever it is that we find important, and we take our spouse as being the least important.
Mm.
And we find everything else that's more important, especially when we start having kids, then the children become the most important. It's just interesting how people change in relationships, and they do it because the other person mm-hmm. isn't giving, so they're not going to give. But one of the things that I found personally is when I step up to the plate and I'm stepping up more frequently and I'm doing nice things, suddenly I start noticing he's doing nice things.
Right.
So it's sort of like, who's going to break the vicious cycle?
Yeah.
You've got to start off, and you've got to do it without expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to just be the best version of you, not the fake version, but the best version.
Right. And I think being the best version of yourself, not for somebody else, but for yourself, will actually bring out the best in the people around you too. Well,
don't you think it makes you feel better when you...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you fix yourself up and your hair looks good, or you're wearing your favorite mm-hmm. shirt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You just freshly got out of the shower and you're wearing this perfume, or maybe you're putting on your favorite lingerie or whatever, you know. But when you kind of take some pride in yourself, however that may look, you know, like you just got mm-hmm. your hair done and you're looking really cute. And, you know, like it makes you feel good, right?
Absolutely.
And like you're sort of prancing around a little bit, you know, a little bit more around the house and stuff. But what happens when he doesn't notice? You know?
Yeah.
And that's speaking to the guys, because men tend to get wrapped up in doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Women too, but you know, sure. They get wrapped up in doing things like, I got to pay the bills, or I have to go to work, or I need to do the yard, or, you know, mm-hmm. they get wrapped up in all these things. And then when she starts begging for attention, he's like, I'm too busy. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that. So he's not showing up. She stops showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not being our best versions of ourselves. And another thing to really kind of consider is, as the best version of ourselves, wouldn't that be to be understanding, sympathetic, kind, and not so needy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I do think the best version, the version that's closest to your highest self or your higher genius, is one where you support yourself, like where you are an individual entity that has that reflection of the divine within you. And when you have that, you don't need anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You can have others in your lives, but you don't need them to feel complete.
Right. Well, one of the things that I do is I pretty much support anything that he chooses. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for a really long time, he didn't have a relationship with his siblings. He has two brothers. And I knew him reflecting on the fact that I do have a very close family probably ate at him a little bit. So I was constantly, like, every so often saying, you know, are you ready to reach out to your brothers? You know,
yeah.
At what point is it going to take? And he's like, I've been thinking about it. Just don't know how to go about it. But ironically, his brother reached out to him through Instagram. They ended up finding him. And then the other brother did it. And then they start communicating back and forth. Well, now every single day they get online and play video games together.
Oh, that's so sweet.
During the video games, they're having deep conversation.
Yeah.
And he does it for hours a day. You know, when he has his days off, he is specifically upstairs for several hours doing this. And I never, ever, ever complain about it. In fact, when I have a break, you know, during work hours and he's off, sometimes I break for like a couple hours and he'll hear my door shut. Mm-hmm. And then I'll hear him down the hallway going, are you done? And I'll go, yeah, for a couple hours. And he goes, okay, I'll be off in a second. He literally on his own makes the conscious choice of coming downstairs just to spend some time with me because he's being considerate. Mm-hmm. I never asked that of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just does it on his own. Like if I finish early, he'll say, I need to take a break. I'll hear him say, I need to take a break for a second. So I come downstairs, you know, the day ended a little earlier than I expected. And he'll say, well, I just wanted to come downstairs just for a few minutes and take a break, but I'm going to be on for another hour. And I go, okay, well, just take your time. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, sometimes it's 30 minutes, you know, he'll cut it off and he always comes back down. A lot of that is because I find that it's so important for him to have this relationship because it was lacking for so long.
Mm-hmm.
That it's more important to me that he is getting that fulfillment.
Sure. Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sounds to me like in your giving him space for this relationship, which also means like time and time away from you, he's able to bring his best self, not only to the relationship with his brother, but to you as well. So it is, there's this mutual benefit.
Well, and another thing too, that I think really causes problems in relationships is that they have different love languages.
Mm-hmm.
Like my love language is words of affirmation, you know, it's also some physical touch, you know, I have a few of them, but the ones that is not my love language, it's gifts.
Right.
And he's a big gift giver.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to appreciate that. For instance, I had this necklace that had a stone on it and he saw me wearing it all the time. And then one day he saw it sitting on the counter and the stone was broken. And he goes, what happened to your stone? And I go, well, it broke. It always breaks unless I get one that's bound a little bit better. And he goes, well, what are you looking for? Show me. And before I knew it, he ended up getting me another one. He was just being kind. He looks for those spaces of need and he gets it for me. And I've learned to appreciate that over time and see that as a love language, as opposed to before it was more like, I'd rather like lay in the bed and cuddle or, you know, have long, deep conversations, you know, tell me you love me, you know, those kind of things, spend some time with me. Time spent is another one, like, but it's more like quality time. I like quality time, not just time spent. Like, let's go on a bike ride together. Let's go shopping together, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's learned over time that that quality time is important to me. So he makes that effort of, you know, even suggesting, hey, let's go to the movies or let's get out and do something. When I let go of the expectations, I get more expressions and I acknowledge those expressions of love, even though it may not be the way that I pretty much would prefer it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that when we are the best selves in our intimate relationships, we feel better about ourselves in general, like our self-value goes up. Again, that's not to be confused with faking.
Right.
And it's important when you're starting a new relationship that you don't fake it. And women have a tendency of doing that, you know? They just want to be loved so badly. And then they do it sort of like banking. Like, I'm going to do all this in hopes that one day you're going to do all this. And when it never happens or it gets taken away, it's like, oh my God, he doesn't love me anymore. But he might have been putting on a big show for you just as much as you were putting on for him.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, how when you show up for people, then they show up for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so let's talk about a different type of relationship. What would you like to conquer next?
Well, I think I would like to talk about relationships that maybe aren't so new and not intimate relationships, but friendships, maybe that you have with people at work or people that you've just known for a while, and how after a long time, I think sometimes it's hard to bring your best self to a relationship. I know sometimes I've been frustrated with friends and feeling like, oh, why did they say that? And I tend to be kind of honest in my interactions. So I am kind of a little bit different in that. And even in like my romantic relationships, I've never been anything other than like kind of who I am. And that could be why I haven't had that many romantic relationships, because I just wasn't trying that hard. Does make it a little bit challenging for personality types like myself that aren't really good at putting on a show. Like, I don't have that ability. And so I've found recently, getting back to the friendships, that I've got a couple of friendships where I've been finding myself kind of frustrated. And in one case, I was like honest with the person, like, you said something that hurt me. And they came back and was like, no, you know, kind of denying it. Oh, I was just, you know, offering my advice, blah, blah, blah. But what I found it to be like critical. And this is a person I've known for decades. And I know they care about me. I know they love me. But it's kind of like caused like a rift in our friendship. And I'm not sure how to bring my best self to that relationship while at the same time maintaining truth to my own feelings about being hurt about something. I don't know if any of that makes sense.
Well, sometimes the relationships we've had for a long time, when we start to grow, we kind of outgrow those friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I have a couple of really good examples of that where I had a long-term friendship with somebody and we're talking 20 plus years.
Yeah.
And I started really growing spiritually. And as I started growing intellectually, spiritually, I did a lot of mindset work on myself. I started to realize that I was playing victim to her. And when I started to shift, she didn't like it. She wanted to knock me down. She wanted to put me in that place. She wanted to feel more powerful. And when I started to realize this, it was an unhealthy relationship. I had to let it go.
Yeah.
There is a difference of that. You know, like if your friend is criticizing you, I don't know what level that was at. And I don't know how comfortable you feel about talking about that on a podcast. How deep was the criticism? Was it personal attack to your?
No, it wasn't personal. And I think it was just, it wasn't even that, I'm not even sure why it struck me so hard. But I think it came after kind of a long string of this person always kind of trying to know more than everybody else. And like, you can't, you know, no matter how much you know about a thing, they always know more than you about the thing. And that may be true, but it got annoying. And part of this is I blame myself because I feel like I should be above being annoyed by this kind of petty stuff. Like, well, I know this person's heart is in absolutely the right place. They're a very loving person, but they probably have their own insecurities, which makes them, you know, want to show that they know things so people don't think they're stupid, whatever. So there's like kind of these little petty things. And there's one thing they said I took really personally, and it wasn't personal. And in thinking about doing this podcast about bringing your best self to a relationship, I really feel like I want to work on not letting like the little stuff get to me and responding in a way that's healthier.
I think it's important that you address the situation immediately.
Mm.
And if you let it, you know, steep for a while,
right,
you tend to start thinking about how other people have done this to you, and then it makes it stronger.
Yeah.
So I think that if you would have addressed it immediately, like when they said it, and said, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I kind of did. I think I was a little bit snappy though, like a little bit more snappish about it. It was like, well, you know,
you
don't need to criticize me about this. I already know. And then after that, they came back, was like, oh no, I totally didn't mean to criticize you. You know, it wasn't, you know, I was just trying to be helpful. And I was like, okay, you know, I get it.
I can't even imagine anybody criticizing you. So it's like, all I see is amazingness. So
it was about like, something I had written. And so there was like something wrong with the way I had put together some sentences. And it was just about my writing. And I took that kind of like, it wasn't personal, but it ended up feeling personal.
So why does this person feel that they have to address this? So, I mean, we want to kind of look at you for a second, because we're talking mm-hmm. about you being your best self. So why would that person feel like they have to address it?
That's what I asked back. I was okay, like, I already know that I made a mistake in this thing and I've fixed it.
Okay, but think about this for a second. Mm-hmm. Think about it from your responsibility in this, because we're talking about mm-hmm. you right now, not her.
Mm-hmm.
So you being your best self, why would she do that? Perhaps because you've given her permission to do that mm-hmm. in the past. So she felt free to do it, and you let it, you know, like build until you finally had enough, and then you said something.
Yeah, you know, that really resonates with me, because my response will be to be nice about stuff and like tell myself, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever. But I think sometimes this stuff builds up over time, right? And I really like your analogy with tea, because you can imagine like a tea bag steeping and the liquid getting stronger and stronger and stronger, right? And, you know, there's probably like a prime point of tea where it's perfect and you should speak your mind, say your piece, and be done. If you let it sit too long, it's no good. Or if you get like overly emotional at like the first time somebody looks at you funny, that's not good either.
Yeah. And I think that by you being your best self in this situation, it would have been to, you know, address things immediately mm-hmm. instead of waiting until
until I was ready to.
Yeah. Yeah. The straw that broke the camel's back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that's been a pattern for me mm-hmm. In relationships, where it's like, I won't say anything. And then like, it will be like one little thing and then I'll be annoyed, and I should have just like spoken my piece sooner, and it might've saved a lot of annoyance down mm-hmm. the line.
I think that in, you know, you taking ownership of your part, would be for you to realize that you basically gave her permission.
Yeah.
And that's not being your best self.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you give somebody permission, then they think, oh, well, she likes my criticism, or she likes my constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Or she likes it when I help her out, you know? But the truth is, you don't like it. So
yeah, I mean, it depends. Like if it was something that I ask for, like I really want, you know, when I ask for criticism, it's like, I really want it. I'm being honest and I want it. But if I'm just showing you something like, oh, here's this cool thing. It seems to hurt more when somebody finds
like issue with it. And again, this isn't the first time this has happened. It was just the first time that I snapped over it mm-hmm. and was like, oh, I don't need you to point these things out kind of thing. And I was a little bit snarky.
Well, and that's kind of sort of what happened with this, the girl that that I had the long-term relationship with. The difference is that I was playing the victim role for a very long time. And it was like, please don't be upset with me. I'm so sorry. You know, and then she's like, you always have a tendency of doing this and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just this emotional projection of her own insecurities upon me. And, you know, what actually ended the relationship was when she came back after 10 years and showed back up all, I love you, Shelley Belly. I miss you. You know, like, I'm supposed to just forgive and forget, you know?
Yeah.
I've forgiven you now, and I'm coming back into your life, you know? And I literally, like, just sat back and said, okay, the universe is bringing this to my attention, mm-hmm. testing to see if I've learned, to see if I've grown from this. And so I just sat back and said, okay, show me what you got, you know? And I meant that in both angles. What has she got? Has she changed and grown, you know, to where I can accept her back in my life? Or is the universe finding out how much I've grown? And when I was doing nothing but showing love and support and helping her in a particular situation, somehow or another she turned the tables on me and made it seem like I was against her on some level. I mean, I still can't fathom it. And then she started bringing up the past from things that happened like 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And I literally said, you know, you're making up stuff and you're twisting it to your own personal illusion here. And I said, look, I have to set some boundaries here. And this is not okay. She did not like the fact that I stood up for myself and said, I'm way stronger than this. You're not going to be able to do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like the idea that she couldn't control me anymore. So it was an opportunity for me to acknowledge that and said, look, I love you. And I also would love for you to be a part of my life, but you can't be a part of my life doing this.
Yes.
And she chose to walk away.
Hmm.
As she was not okay with those boundaries.
Yep.
and that's okay. You know, I released her with love.
Yeah.
No resentment, no anger, just, you know, maybe another 10 years will pass and she'll grow
mm-hmm.
another lifetime. But in this one, it's obviously right now, it's not the right time. And I think in a lot of times with long-term relationships, they still see you as the person from before.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're growing, it's harder for them to, you know, see that growth. They only see the person that they used to know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit hard, you know, relationships.
I also think we get caught up in cycles or patterns that repeat themselves in relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in this particular relationship, I think, you know, we love each other. We've been friends for so long. And I want to continue my relationship with her, but I feel like we're kind of in a bad, like pattern, right? Where it's just not, you know, because of time and growth and everything else, we've both changed. Right. So we're both different people than when we first met. So I guess I would love to hear your advice on kind of breaking out of negative relationship patterns. Right. Is it, you know, would you recommend taking a break from a relationship like a friendship or changing the nature of the relationship? So like you talk more, talk less. Is there anything practical I can do?
I guess you would have to define what you're talking about when you say you're in this pattern of a negative pattern. What does that look like?
Well, I feel like we'll be going along great for a while. And then one of us will say something that will like hurt the other person or annoy the other person. And then there's kind of like a little bit of a rift. And then oh, okay, then we'll say we're sorry and we'll come back. And then the pattern continues for a while.
Well, so I had a situation like this, and I'll tell you how I handled it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friendship. I still have the friendship, by the way, this friendship for a very long time. And in the beginning of this relationship, I would say, gosh, first 5 years or so, there was a really strong bond between us. And both of us were single.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always asking me, I mean, my office was very close to her home. And she's like, come over after work and spend the night, you know, and stuff like that. So I would come over and I'd spend time with her. And, you know, and there was a lot of me over there a lot, mm-hmm. spending a lot of time with her. And she was very giving nature, mm-hmm. very nurturing, and a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the kind of person that would, like, you get out of the shower and she'd go throw the towel in the dryer and give you a warm towel.
Aww.
You know, you show up and she say, you know, it's been a long day. I'm going to rub your feet. Or, mm-hmm. you know, she say, I'll have dinner ready for you by the time you get here and a glass of wine. You know, mm-hmm. she was always that giving kind mm-hmm. of person. And I learned a lot from that friendship, you know, in that time frame about really giving. And we would meet each other's needs all the time, both of us equally. But she got involved in a relationship that was very toxic. And what happened was that she was becoming him.
Oof.
And there was a lot of smart aleck remarks, a lot of anger, and it was frustrating. And there was a point where she asked me for advice and she never took the advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I got frustrated because she was telling me about something that was going on with this guy. I said to her, I said, look, I don't know what to tell you. She goes, come on, give me some of your really good advice. And I said, I don't know what to tell you, because when I tell you to let him go, you say, no, but I love him. When I tell you to love him more or just accept the situation and be a little bit more present in the relationship, you say, I can't because blah, blah, blah. And if I tell you this, you say this, you can't do it. And if I tell you this, you say this and you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I have given you every piece of advice that I can think of to help you with this relationship. But regardless of what I tell you, you do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And she said to me, I mean, she got really mad and she screamed, F you.
Oh.
And I got up, I grabbed my stuff and I went and took it to the car.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes out and she says, I'm sorry. And she apologized, but it stuck with me because it was ongoing. I let it fester, you know,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I let it steep.
Yeah. And
it was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back, because she was always getting mad at me, like mm-hmm. always getting, and I was always nice to her, good to her, showing up when she needed me. She called me up crying, I'd show up.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it anymore. I was building this business and it was stressful,
mm-hmm.
time consuming, and it was emotionally and financially draining on me. And I just couldn't give
mm-hmm.
away something that didn't have any value.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started backing off. The opportunity to back off came along, which was good because I got involved in a relationship with Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And she started blaming it on him and started saying, I would never do that to you, even though I had a boyfriend. I never backed away from you. And I just kept on, like, you know, didn't want to address it, because every single time I tried to talk to her, she'd get mad.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally, like, tucked it under the rug, and I tried a couple of times and she would do it again. And I'd mm-hmm. stay away for months at a time, show up, she'd do it again. And finally I just said, I love you, but I just can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And after about a year, she came back slowly, started, you know, liking my post on Facebook, sending me little messages here and there, you know, how's your mom? How's this? You know, and I knew what she was doing. She was entering her way back in.
Mm-hmm.
And I called her and I said, I know you think that this is what the reason is, but that's not the reason. The reason is because of the way you treated me. And she says, why didn't you tell me? And I said, look, I didn't have the courage. I tried and it didn't work. And I just couldn't. I just felt like every time I tried to talk to you, you would go on to attack.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to rekindle the relationship. And one of the first things that happened was she invited me to this birthday party she had. And there was a lot of people around, and she's a very, very, very social person. And so she gets really loud when she's mm-hmm. around people, and it was kind of a loud environment anyway. And I needed to go, and it was a long drive, and I lived like an hour and a half away, and I really wanted to beat the traffic and not be sitting in the car for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I told her that I was going to have to leave, and she goes, well, wait until we cut the cake. And I said, okay. When are you going to do that? In a minute. And then there was a couple other people who said they needed to go.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to approach it, and she kept on like pushing them off, you know, like ignoring them. So I said, honey, listen. And I tried to get her attention. And I said, look, other people need to go. You need to go ahead and cut the cake. And if you can't do that, I'm going to have to go ahead and go before you do that. And it's more than cutting the cake. It's singing happy birthday and the whole nine yards. Because she did not want me leaving until we sung happy birthday. I said to her, and now we're into like 3 hours of being there, and we still haven't done the blowing out the, you know, thing. And I said, honey, I have to go. And she screamed at me in front of everyone.
Oh my goodness.
I just looked at her and I said, not okay. Like that. And she just ignored me. And then somebody else said something to her. They said a lot of people are ready to go. You know, they have to go home. So we're either going to have to leave. And so finally she's okay, everybody, like real like tacky. And then she did it. And I knew what she was doing is she wanted everybody to stay around longer. So she was kind of postponing it because she, mm-hmm. like I said, she's social. She likes to do all this stuff. I just hugged her, said goodbye. And again, I backed off
mm-hmm.
for a good amount of time. After a few months, you know, I just said, hey, you know, I would just be nice to her, but I wouldn't see her. I'm busy. I can't do this. I got a family thing. I got this, blah, blah, blah. And finally, some time had passed. She had a child. There's some stuff that had came along. And she reached out to me, tried to call me. We had a conversation on the phone, and it seemed like there was a lot of change that had happened just from having a child. So I decided that I would go over to her house and spend some time with her. And we talked a little bit about it. And I brought it up again about, this was about how you treated me. And she said, I'm so sorry. I never meant to hurt you. I really didn't mean it that way. I, you know, it didn't mean to come across. I love you too much. I said, okay. You're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up spending the day with her and another friend. And we were in the car and we're heading to go get our toes done, get massages. Like it was mm-hmm. a long day. And in the car, she said she wanted to have a theme party. And I said, ooh, that sounds like fun. And I go, what kind? And she goes, I think I'd like to do an Indian party. And I go, well, what kind of Indian? And then she yelled at me in front of her other friend and said, what the F? What kind of Indian do you think I'm talking about? An Indian party. And I said, well, there's two different types of Indians.
Yeah, I'm still kind of confused. And amongst like those Indians, there are many different types. So.
Well, so, you know, you've got the Asian Indians, mm-hmm. you know, like Hindu and mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff. And then you also have like Cherokee, you know,
Native Americans. Yeah.
Yeah. Native Americans. And when I said that, she's like, oh, okay. And then her friend caught her and said something like, you need to be nice. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah. And what happens is she gets very excited
mm-hmm.
and enthusiastic. And she just gets on a ramp and she doesn't realize, you know, what she's doing. So when we came home that night, her friend left and I was still there. And the plan was for me to spend the night. And I sat her down and I said, we need to talk. And she's like, okay, what about? And I said, I promised you when I sat you down and said that I was going to rekindle this relationship, I meant it. Mm-hmm. And you, I value you. I love you. I want you in my life. So I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm not going to do what I've done before. Let it fester, get upset, get my feelings hurt, not have enough courage. I'm telling you straight up, this is what you did. And she goes, well, what did I do? I can't even think of anything I've done. And I said, the Indian comment. And I said, you screamed at me and you embarrassed me in front of your friend. And she's like, oh my God, I am so sorry. And she really thought about it and she started crying and she felt sincerely apologetic about it. And since then, she's never yelled at me.
Oh.
And she did make one comment one time that she felt like she was walking on eggshells.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said, well, I don't want you to ever feel like you're walking on eggshells, but I also don't want you to scream at me.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something to say, you say it, but you don't say it like you're belittling me.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so, you know, through these conversations that we've had, my responsibility in this was that I never stood up.
Mm-hmm.
I just would get my feelings hurt and run off, or I'd let it build up and it would come into this big thing. So, you know, it kind of all comes back down to really being authentic and not holding on to those things. So for me, answering your question is I would sit her down and mm-hmm. I would have a conversation with her like now and say, here is where the problem lies. Let's talk together about how we can resolve this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And tell her how it makes you feel. Mm-hmm. And tell her that you love her and that you really are committed to this relationship. Mm-hmm. But if things don't change, it's going to be hard for you to be in the relationship.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that?
Yeah, that sounds perfect. Yeah, it's a really... it's kind and honest. Mm-hmm. And I think it will work.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, hopefully that kind of explained.
Yeah, absolutely. No, very helpful. Just like a kind of, you know, not a spouse relationship, but just like a long, long time friendship relationship. And sometimes I feel like I don't always bring my best self.
So I'd like to talk about family.
All right. Let's talk about family.
My mother, you met her.
She is adorable.
She's adorable. She's amazing. But there was a point where she was extremely negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it build up, of mm-hmm. course, you know. Mm-hmm. And one day I just flew off the handle and I said, how can somebody so positive come from somebody who's so negative? Everything that comes out of your mouth is the expectation of something bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, because I would tell her something and she would say, oh, Michelle, but what if this happens? Mm-hmm. And she would project the negative thing, like my business, for example.
Oh.
What are you going to do if it fails? I couldn't hear that at the time because I didn't have a choice but to make it work.
Yeah, that's not how, yeah, it's just not helpful to you.
Yeah, I know. And she got very upset, started crying, and said mm-hmm. she was just a negative, horrible mother and the whole nine yards. And I realized I hurt her feelings, you know, mm-hmm. really bad. Mm-hmm. And I sat her down and I said, look, you know, there's a lot of wonderful qualities that I have that came from you. Mm-hmm. And I told her how much of a loving person she is. And that love that she passed on to me made me a loving person. And I said, but Mom, I really, really need you to, you know, only say positive things in my direction and have some faith in me, because it feels like when you say those things that you don't believe in me. And she goes, but I do believe in you. And I go, well, then why are you projecting the worst?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it stopped.
Wonderful.
You know, and interestingly enough, she's now one of the most positive people I've ever met.
Yeah, she is very positive.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. she's so positive. It's just crazy. Like every conversation.
The podcast, the day we had the podcast with her, she was in a car accident.
Mm-hmm. And she saw the positive.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, they were the nicest people you could ever meet.
Yep. So here's the thing I have to say about that. People match you.
Hmm.
Okay. And this is one of the biggest lessons I ever met, is that people match your vibration. And I had to take responsibility as well for showing up a certain way that would require her to respond a certain way. And I started to just show up differently with her. Like, instead of being defensive or anything like that. So anytime she said anything negative, I would flip it to a positive thing every single time. She'd say something about her knee hurting. I'd say, "Hey, Mom, how are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, my knee hurts so bad." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I kind of pat her knee a little bit. And I said, "It must be hard, you know, having to go through that. So I bet that you think about that a lot, and you probably would like to not think about that a lot. So why don't you just tell me something really good that's happened in your life?" And I flipped the switch on her and forced her to tell me something positive. And I started doing that a lot. Like, "Tell me something good. Tell me how awesome you're doing. Tell me something wonderful. Are you excited about your trip? Are you doing this? Are you doing that?" And I always threw that real positive energy at her. And oh my God, it was like a new woman was created.
It stuck.
Yeah.
It absolutely stuck. Oh, that's such a great story.
Yeah. And here's what funny thing is, her response when I told her, "Tell me something great that you're excited about." She said, "Oh my God, I got this new Cricut and it does all these really cool things." And I said, "Well, woman, why don't you show me?" And so she brought me in her craft room and she showed me all the really cool things she could do in her crafts. And it was awesome. And she and I have the best conversations now. I mean, the absolute best conversations. And all she does is stroke my ego. And, you know, being in a Leo, that works really well for me. She's always like, "I'm so proud of you. You've really done so much. You're so amazing. You just lift people up."
And you're just purring like a kitty cat.
Like, yeah, I know. I'm like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's funny because that's what I did for her. I was always lifting her up and talking about how talented she was and how great she was. And, you know, and I had to take care of me and my approach. How did I show up for her? And when I changed that, it changed everything. You know, and I've got tons of stories about that with all of my family members.
I love it.
Every single one of them treat me differently than they used to just because I started showing up differently. All right. So we talked about family. Do you have any questions about that or any thoughts or any comments or any kind of you want to add to that or personal experiences?
No, I'm just feeling very inspired to be better myself in how I show up in all of my relationships.
Well, let's talk about being the best version of yourself with the divine. You know, I think this is absolutely the most important one, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know that you're a highly spiritual person. So I'm going to ask you, why don't you share with us what that means to you versus how you used to be and how you are now?
Well, I think the first step is simply showing up. And for me, and I'm assuming for you as well, a lot of that, it just entails the ritual work that we do, that daily work. And there are many times that I wake up, I don't feel like it. Or like in the evening, I just want to go to bed. I don't feel like doing what I'm supposed to be doing to maintain the connection to the divine, the connection to the archangels, all of these wonderful, you know, relationships that we establish in this practice. And so my thinking is, it is better to show up for a short amount of time than to say, "Okay, I'm not going to show up today. I'll show up tomorrow for a little bit longer." Whereas tomorrow, I might say the same thing, like, "Oh yeah, I'll just show up later." And you can end up putting off your relationship with the divine. I think the most important part is to just be there for as long as you're able in whatever capacity you're able. And there'll be some days where you're able to give and not only of your time, but just of yourself and your energy to the relationship, and other days where, you know, not so much. You might only have a few minutes to be able to spend in communion with the divine.
Yeah. So let's talk about ways that you can show up.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that not everybody does rituals. So that's probably mm-hmm. something that they're like, well, I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know.
Well, prayer, I think rituals, it's just like prayer. It's just a more, you know, formalized way of praying.
Right. Right. So let's talk about things that the normal person can do. So one of the things that my mom said during our podcast was she does a devotional every morning. So she has this book and it's her devotional where she spends time like reading and studying. And then she prays for a while. And she's taken up meditation since I told her to do it. And she says she's spending some time sort of like communicating with God and listening to God. And then she journals sort of those feelings that are coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good way for people to make that connection. Personally, my personal preference is meditation
mm-hmm.
because I think it's important also to define the difference between prayer and meditation, because a lot of people get very confused about what meditation in general is. And so prayer is when you're talking to God, and meditation is when you're listening.
Mm.
So what we have to do when we're meditating is we have to quiet the mind so that that voice can come through. And it's not a voice like I hear you, but maybe an instant thought that comes through, or maybe a vision of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes those things happen, or maybe it's an overwhelming feeling that you get, but you're making that connection like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people that are a little bit more advanced, they can like put lights around them or archangels around them or do rituals. There's a lot of different techniques that you can do, but in general, it's about making that connection. And, you know, how do you and I make a connection? Well, mm-hmm. we talk, we share, mm-hmm. we give our hearts to each other. I called you when I had a problem this mm-hmm. week, you know, that I needed to talk about. And you were there for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a friend is just there to listen. And sometimes the friend is there for advice, but you were present. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we're present for God, sometimes we're listening, sometimes we're asking,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we're just adoring. I mean, because sometimes I'm just adoring you, you know that.
It's a feelings mutual.
Sometimes I'm just like, I need to have a caring moment mm-hmm. where I'm blissfully sitting in your love. You know, mm-hmm. and sometimes that's all I need is just mm-hmm. to be in your presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's the same thing, you know, developing a relationship with God is by understanding how God speaks, understanding the way he speaks to you and the way that you learn to listen
mm-hmm.
and really making that connection and then being grateful when those answers come to you, you know,
mm-hmm.
and really sitting in that energy and feeling the presence of God, I think is important.
Absolutely. Oh, that's beautiful.
Do you have anything that you want to add?
No, I love that. And I feel like I want to journal down the, you know, prayer is talking to God and meditation is listening. I think that's just gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, we're all sort of like too tired, just want to go to bed, you know, and sometimes there's points where there's things that we need to work on, but we're not wanting to listen. Have you ever been there? I know I have.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, okay, I know you want to talk to me about this, but I want your help on something else.
Yeah. Yep. Avoiding the real issue. I'm decent at that myself.
Yeah. 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 So I was, do you remember that class we were in yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the proctors was brought up a subject off the subject about telekinesis.
Yeah.
And I was like super excited about that. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, I want to learn this. I want to learn this. Well, one of the girls posted a link to testing your ability, you know, on the channel. And it's called PSI test. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. You should do it. Right. Anyway, so I'm sitting there. I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. And I decided to, you know, invoke Raphael. And I'm like, okay, you need to help me with this. And so I'm like trying to test, and he's like, we need to talk about some stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I want you to help me with this. Okay.
I want to move some stuff around with my mind, Raphael. Now is not the time.
He's like, yeah, but we need to talk about something. And I'm like, okay, but don't you think that this will deepen our connection if you help me be more?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure that went well.
Yeah, right. Well, obviously I sucked at every single one of those things, and I know I'm better than what I did. And I know that he was pretty much like, not going to help
you. Not today.
You won't listen.
Yeah.
And you know, that says a lot about relationships. How many times have you like wanted something from somebody else, but they wouldn't give it to you because you wouldn't listen?
Yeah.
You know, so it was a little bit of a lesson for me, even though I was being kind of stubborn. Mm-hmm. You know, like, but it'll be a connection, you know, mm-hmm. if I can like do this, then, and I know that I'm like good at it, then I'll know that when I get those inspirations coming from you, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So needless to say, I got like 30% right, which really isn't so good. So
it might be wise to come back to it at a different mm-hmm. time.
I think that I'm going to have to make some time today mm-hmm. to listen to what he has to say. Part of the reason why I wanted to get better at that was because I want to be able to, you know, maybe even fix things in my body, mm-hmm. you know? So I thought if I mastered this, then be able to fix some of those things in my body. And I knew that's what the conversation was going to be about that mm-hmm. he wanted to talk about. But I was like, yeah, but this is the way I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
And yeah.
He was probably thinking, well, let's start from a different angle.
Let's talk about this, Michelle.
Yeah.
Let's start, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, it's like when you get like, you know, being a kid, you get like a new toy or something. You just like want to dive in and not read the instructions or anything. Just play.
Okay, well, see, that's my personality right there. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst about that. I really hate reading instructions. I just start putting things together.
And then I've noticed that about you. You definitely are one, like when, like you dive into this stuff, like you mm-hmm. absolutely dive into the stuff. And I think it's a wonderful quality actually.
But you're more of a prepper. I'm more like, let's do it right now.
No, I am definitely more of a prepper for sure. Like, mm-hmm. you know, get everything organized, read everything. So I think that's why we complement each other so well.
Well, my sister's also a prepper. Mm-hmm. And so like when I would want to paint a room or something, mm-hmm. I would invite her over because she's all about like, you know, laying everything on the floor, getting everything ready, taping the
washing the walls, taping everything. Yeah. There's
and I'm like, where's the paintbrush? Let's get started.
She's still like putting the tape and you're like, got half the wall done.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to go ahead and do this and you can tape. You can go around and do the trim later and tape all this stuff.
Oh, no.
No, but I love it because she'll do the things I hate doing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing. That's what balances out relationships. And mm-hmm. if you kind of like look at it from the angle instead of getting frustrated, that's part of the reason why I ask her to come over, because she'll do the stuff I hate.
Yeah,
but she likes doing it. And Shane is like, I just recently painted my office, and Shane likes to do those detailed things like that. And me, I'm like, ooh, you know, I want to get this done. Gotta get done. And so he's over there like doing all the edges so perfectly and everything. And I'm like, yes, you know, somebody who likes to do those detailed things is so amazing to me. You know, I love it. I love it. I love it. Because, you know, and that's the thing when we're looking at relationships, okay, we want to come up as our best self, but we also want to enhance somebody else and allow them to be their best self, not argue over how you're going to paint the walls, but allow that person to do what they're best at. And you might find that because they're really good at those things, you don't have to do it, you know? Or because they enjoy that.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, I mean, I've really valued the fact that you do so much research on these, you know, before you show up for a podcast, because you come up with a lot of stuff that you're adding to that really makes it good. As opposed to me, I'm like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's just do it.
Yeah, you're just ready to roll. And I'm always like, oh, maybe we should do that one next week so I can read a little bit more about it. You're like, no, no, let's just do it.
Do it, right? Exactly. Exactly. Anyways, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And, you know, be your best self for yourself. Because your relationships are really a factor of how you're showing up. See you soon.
Hi, this is Michelle, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for engaging in this podcast and taking this journey with us where we are raising your consciousness. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram and on Facebook so that you can actually engage with us, ask us questions, offer some suggestions, or anything that you would be willing to, you know, throw out there for us. We want to engage with our public. We look forward to hearing back from you and starting this journey. See you next time.